Hello and welcome to episode 58 of the Main Yarn Podcast. I'm Julie.
And I'm Jen.
Hey, and today we're going to be talking about, we've got a few things that we're going to talk about. We've got some finished objects.
We do. What we're working on, of course.
Of course. We're going to talk about what we want to work on next, because there's never enough.
And some exciting shop talk.
Nice. We may have a catastrophe or two.
Yeah, and then we've been making some stuff.
Surprise, surprise.
Yeah. Other than with yarn, even.
Who knew?
Weird. So, yeah. Let's see. Sorry, my
technical difficulties
gave me a weird error.
But please hold.
Yes. Yeah. We're back.
We're here.
Hello. So yeah, finished objects. I am coming up short this time. No finished objects for me.
But I was talking last time, I think, about how I'd lost my mojo and I needed ways to get my mojo back.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them is this hat and scarf, which I think I'm going to put the pattern out on Ravelry under Easy Speedy.
Yes.
Hat and scarf, because it's super fast. I made it with a chunky yarn held with a sport weight or fingering yarn.
Mm-hmm.
I made the hat. Thank you.
I like the way the two yarns kind of play off each other.
Yeah.
And give it some extra depth.
I was thinking Steven Berg, you know, like making it my own. And then the scarf, which obviously it's like the scarf pattern will come free with a hat pattern because most people know how to make a scarf, but still.
It's got a cool fringe on the end. You can talk about how you did that.
Yeah, it got out the crochet needle.
Whoa.
Yeah, who knew? And it did have a pom-pom on it, but Nigel decided he wanted to play with a pom-pom, so that's gone.
Nigel being your dog.
Yeah. Yeah, Nigel being my dog.
Your husband or something.
But anyway, I'm really happy with it, and I'm really happy that I think I've got my mojo back, so we'll see.
Yeah, you seem like it. You've been doing good.
Thanks.
I've been knitting a lot, but I don't have any finished objects.
Yeah, but we'll see.
Talk to you about the story of what's happened.
Yeah.
In my what I've been working on section.
Yes. Well, so, why don't we go there next?
Yeah, so let's see. It's kind of... Well, let's start with the easy one. So I'm doing something called the Beaded Knit Mitts by Laura Nelkin.
Mm-hmm.
And they are...
Beaded. That's very confusing. Okay.
Yeah, like Nordic.
Okay.
But Beaded. okay. Sorry, that sounds even weirder.
It does.
It's from her Lola's Choice Club.
They look lovely.
So this club, I get a quarterly shipment of a tiny project that usually involves beads, but it's Lola's Choice. And Lola is Laura Nelkin's alter ego.
Mm-hmm.
These are fingerless mitts. And my furnace broke the other day here in November in Maine.
Yeah.
It was a little cold, so I'm like, I want some fingerless mitts. So instead of like digging out the ones I've made in past years, I'm like, I'm going to cast on a pair. Like, that's going to keep me warm right away, right? That's my logic. So anyway, I started that, and we got a new puppy this month.
Yeah.
Unexpectedly, you know, how those kind of puppy accidents happen.
Unplanned puppy. Well, puppy accidents are a different thing.
Oh, yeah. We just had one of those, too. Anyway, my daughter, who... is an adult but still lives with us, came home with a new puppy and, you know, made us keep it. So
him.
Sorry. And so we had a puppy we weren't planning on because, you know, there's not enough things going on in my life. Anyway, he got a hold of it, grabbed the nicely caked up yarn and ran.
We're having a catastrophe right here, right now, people.
Being distracting me. Anyway, so he grabbed the ball and ran, which is a trick I think he learned from my cat, because that's her thing. So we're saying, and he's a little bit smaller than my cat, and always will be. Mm-hmm. He's the smallest of all our animals. So I keep saying he's the cat's intern, because he keeps doing things the cats would have done. So she's just, the cat is kind of sitting nearby, and watching, kind of smirking, and then sending the hapless intern around being like, if I go do this for you, will you be my friend? This is kind of like how I picture this all going down in my head. Anyway, he grabbed the nicely balled up yarn and ran and left me with an inch of a cuff, attached to a gigantic mess of yarn.
Oh.
So I've spent several days.
Did he actually undo what you knitted, or he just...
No.
Okay.
That's because it. I use these lovely stitch stoppers on all projects.
Yes.
These are, I don't know, they're kind of the consistency of like earplugs.
Yeah.
Kind of squishy foam in a circle shape with circles inside, and they come in all different sizes. And since we've had dogs there, I get these from, what do I get these from? Coco Knits.
Yep.
Yep. They're in the shop. But yeah, I've got a couple of cases of them myself because, and I have a ton of whips, so every whip has to have them now. It's a new rule in my house.
I have to get some because I have some, but the times that I've remembered to go and grab them, they've been the wrong size for the project.
Oh, and the puppy loves to chew these too. They're just the right consistency for him to chew up, so I've lost a couple. So it's been a fun month. So that was half Knitastrophe, half what I've been working on.
Yep.
But I finally got it all untangled today. Nice. And I put another few rows on the cuff.
Nice.
Before we started on our other making stuff.
Nice.
But, yeah, so I have worked on the beaded mitts. Long story. And they're going to be adorable. So they're like fingerless mitts that you can do either with cut-off fingers or just like the cut-off mitten, right? So they're either, you know what I mean? Fingerless mittens or fingerless gloves.
Yes. It was just all very... The cutting off the fingers was all a bit too much for me there for a second. But I'm with you now.
Okay. Yeah, so this is like my monologue. I'll let you talk in just a second. I don't even remember what we're talking about. Mittens. It's just been a chaos month in my house. Anyway, let's see. So I think that's enough about my beaded mitts. Oh, let me finish. Sorry. They are adorable, and they are the beaded part. There's like a Fair Isle beaded pattern. So it's like a Fair Isle pattern, but it's done in beads.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really cute.
Yep.
Kind of like she did La Pyre Month in the... I had a cuff that I made a couple months ago that I told you about, I think.
Yes.
And it had like a mosaic kind of a design
and
made
of beads.
And it
was like a Mobius strip or
Not
something.
Not yet. We're going to talk about that one later.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Anyway.
Yeah.
That's one thing I've been working on.
Apart from the confusing name, they look like they're going to be lovely.
Yes. I can't wait till they're done.
Yep.
Oh, but... Sorry. I'm just... We have these new fingerless gloves in the shop.
Yeah.
Fingerless mitts, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're made out of wool folk tinned?
Yeah.
I think they were on my Instagram today.
I think I saw them. Yeah,
and they're
like
just,
long.
Yeah, they're just so elegant and soft.
Yeah, we should talk about that, actually. Like, leg warmers and arm warmers are coming back again. Like, I feel like they already came back since the 80s.
Yeah.
But they're definitely coming back in a big way. To the extent that my German Facebook group, I've now, like, refreshed my memory of how to say that in German.
Wow.
Which is Strumpen. So
is that arm warmer or leg warmer?
Well, you just, because it's German, you can put arm in front of it or leg in front of it if you want to be specific.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just like in English.
Yeah. So, but it'll all be one word in German.
Oh.
So arm Strumpen or Bein Strumpen. I believe that's correct.
Nice.
So yeah.
You could be saying like hot dog and I wouldn't even know the difference and I would still be impressed.
Yeah, but you know, I think you'd know hot dog because I think it's a Frankfurter.
Oh, yeah.
So... you've learned some German. No, somebody can correct me on that because honestly, I don't eat them, so I don't remember what Germans call hot dogs.
All right.
But leg warmers, yes.
Anyways, all right. What have you been working on?
What have I been working on? We're never going to finish this podcast.
No.
I have, like I said, I got my mojo back, I think, and I'm actually right now as we speak, I'm working on my Pearside cardigan because I really want to start another sweater. And even though I've been casting on all the things recently, which we'll talk about, I still have it in my head that I really need to be working on one big project at a time, like one sweater at a time. So I really want to finish this sweater so I can go into one of the next ones I've got planned.
All right. Okay, and speaking of my big sweater, I am working still on the Spark Cardi by Andrea Mowry. If you were done with that, sorry.
I was.
Okay. It was just a good... segue, so I thought I'd take it.
Yeah.
So Spark Cardi using the Santa Cruz Organic Merino and the Entropy DK. So two yarns, like one's a little bit big and one's a little bit small, but together they just magically made the perfect gauge for me.
It's like peanut butter and chocolate.
Yeah. So good. And it's so pretty. Anyway, so I've been working on that slowly. I think I knit the four sleeves. I think I talked about that last time, though. How I had all those errors and my chart was off. And anyway, my sleeves are now officially done. Mm-hmm. I have two properly completed sleeves, and I am up through the ribbing on the body, and then I will get into the, I'm into the color work, and then I set to go. Mm-hmm. But I've been distracted by other things for the last week or two, which I'm getting around to. But that one ends with steeking, so, yeah. Which I've done once before, and then once in a class we took with our guild.
Yeah, with Kirsten.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's my second thing I've been working on.
Yeah, well, like I said, I did get back some of my mojo. So another thing I've been working on, and I think I talked about this last time, but one of my great nieces, actually, not my niece, but the little great nieces, came up to me and asked if I could make her some more mittens because she lost one of the other pairs, if I remember right. And then when they're old enough to ask you to make them, and her mother said, I did not put her up to that.
That's so sweet.
I kind of feel like I have to. So I'm trying to make a whole, you know, it's going to be like 13 pairs of little mittens.
That would be why last month's was called Mittenathon or something.
Yeah, Mittathon.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I have those started. I've kind of, the way I usually do this when I do the big Christmas knitting, which I didn't do last year, I make the first pair, like come up with the design for the first pair, and then I know what to adjust it for the different sizes. Because I also ask the kids to draw the outlines of their hands, mm-hmm. which they did with varying degrees of accuracy based on age.
Yeah.
Do so
they
we'll
look
see.
Like turkeys?
No, they don't even. Some of them, it's just like a big swoop on a piece mm-hmm. of paper, and I'm going to have to just try to figure it out. But yeah, hopefully those will become mittens for all of them. Because they go quickly, you know, especially the little ones. It's mm-hmm. just doing it.
Yeah.
So the first pair, which are more of an adult small, are almost done. So I'm on my way.
Oh my Aww. Goodness, that was my new puppy.
wants to come in.
Hello. outside the door.
Maybe he wanted mittens.
He probably does.
All right. Mittens, which, by the way, apparently is young person slang for something being so-so.
Yeah, we heard that in trivia, right?
Yeah.
That was so weird.
Yeah.
And did you get confirmation of that, or did we?
I don't know, because Scott had heard it, because my husband's a teacher.
Not
yeah.
your dog?
Not my dog.
Yeah.
I don't know, the dog may have heard it, but he was unable to communicate in a way that I understood.
Tell you about it?
Yeah, but the dog, no. Scott believes he's heard it from his students, and then he talked to his class the next day, and they said they didn't know it, but then they started using it.
Oh,
so great. It's kind of become a circular thing.
Yeah.
Even if it didn't exist, now it does.
Sweet. We should make something up.
Yeah.
And like, see if we can get it to spread.
Yeah, like especially knitting related, like mittens.
Yeah, right. All right, we'll work on that. And then just last thing, how do you say mittens in German?
No, you can ask me that. And I don't remember. So like, it's just Handschuhe. It's just Handschuhe. So the thing is, in German, gloves and mittens are the same, which is Handschuhe, which you can probably hear is hand shoes.
Yeah.
And we always learned that gloves were Handschuhe, whereas you think about a shoe for your hand, you would think it would be a mitten.
Yeah.
But what
they
did
have
I
any
see?
Distinguishing between with fingers or without fingers?
Yeah, I think I did see somebody a pattern show up the other day where it said, but I can't remember, it's like Handschuhe mit Fingern or something. Mm. So gloves with fingers. Mittens with fingers is nice. More how you say gloves.
Okay.
But usually where we would say gloves, they would just say Handschuhe, hand shoes.
Fun. In the learn something new every day category.
In case you're sorry you asked.
Yes. Feel free to fast forward at any point in this podcast. What else have I been working on? Okay, so let's go on to another Laura Nelkin project. So this is the Mobius strip one, and I'm going to show you where I am. So this is so much fun. This is the, what's it called? Hold on. Can't think and grab yarn at the same time. Kairos.
Yes, Kairos Cowl.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so.
As soon as you said it.
Well, that's weird. Look at that. I have a. anyway, I think that's because this is. Sorry, you can't see what I'm doing.
Yeah.
The stitch stopper with the teeth marks in it.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
That's the other one didn't survive to actually remain a stitch stopper. He got it all the way in half. This one just has teeth marks.
The needle end thingies we were just talking about.
Yes.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I made my big long strip of this is Emma's yarn in Practically Perfect Sock, which is just lovely. Mm-hmm. It's in the Nailed It colorway. I think I might be one row off, but I don't care. And then I, because, yeah, I'd have to go back.
Yeah.
Anyway, I made this giant loop. Well, all right, I made a giant strip, and then I looped it together, purposefully making it into a Mobius strip, so flipping one side over.
Oh, okay.
And then here's where I joined it together, and I did garter stitch Kitchener.
So it was just a two-dimensional strip. And then you twisted it and you grafted it together.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. And my graft isn't invisible. Mm-hmm. I think like I had the wrong ends together or something. Anyway, no one will see in the grand scheme of things.
No.
So then what I had to do is I just started picking up stitches. And you can see this is one needle, mm-hmm. but it goes all the way around on both sides of this project, yes. which is the coolest thing ever. I mean, it's just a Mobius strip, so that makes sense, but on both sides of my strip, they are all the way connected on one gigantic long needle.
Yeah.
And, yeah. So that's where I got. Picked up all the stitches. My next step is to move up to my next size up needle, I think a size 7.
Mm-hmm.
And my size 7s are right here in my other project, which is why I put this one aside. Mm-hmm. And I have been focusing on finishing this one, which is what I'll tell you about next.
Okay, cool. Do you want to go straight to that one?
Sure. So this I've mentioned before. I believe this is my mm-hmm. scarecrow vest from the amazing Sydney Crabba? I don't even know how to say it. I'm sorry,
it's not
Sydney.
Crabtree or
No,
Crabba. Yeah. Yeah, I don't really know either, but.
Or Squidney, right?
Squidney. Of Squidney Knits. Instagram and the Squid School mm-hmm. of Vintage Knitting, which is where I signed up for this. It's her Patreon account. And she's every month she designs a project based on vintage knits from like the 40s or 50s and, you know, just updates it so that the patterns are readable. They used to be pretty, you know, kind of wishy-washy on gauge and didn't give you all the details.
Because in the 40s
and 50s. Yeah, I don't think everything was as standardized in terms of needle sizes and everything else. You would say things like, use your wooden needles for this. Like,
really?
Yeah. Anyway, this is the Scarecrow vest. I am knitting it out of the amazingly beautiful Malabrigo Rios in the Sunset colorway.
Yeah, I love that color.
And it's so like a perfect orangey yellow for the fall.
Yeah.
It's just beautiful. The interesting thing, though, is that you see my fingernails are a little yellow. When I knit on it for several hours, my hands get kind of yellow. I'm like, am I getting jaundice? and then I wash my hands and the suds are kind of yellow. I'm like, what in the heck? And I finally realized.
Yeah.
If you're going to
have to color wash it.
Yes. If you're going to knit, do color work with Rios, I highly recommend you soak it first, separately, mm-hmm. before you put your yarns together. But if you're just doing a single project, you can just soak it afterwards and don't just put it on straight over like your best white blouse or something, because it might, because that's how I plan on wearing this, is putting like a white blouse on or something and then putting the vest over it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just making me happy. Nice. It's a pretty, it's just this cool like textured pattern.
Yeah.
Before row, repeat. Pretty simple.
There's like a chunky broken rib kind of thing going on.
Yeah, and these little like triangles of texture.
Yeah.
There's been one or two times I've had to tink back a row or two because I just got going or confused row two with row four and whatever. But yeah, so it's just making me very happy. But I've been on like finish this project quick. Mode because I want these needles to get back to the other project.
It's a shame you don't know anybody who like owns a yarn store where you'd have access to more needles, really.
You know, I have plenty of needles. I probably could find more. But I went through, this is my new Chowgu interchangeable set.
Yeah.
And I went through the trouble of like getting two Chowgus together because that double-sided Mobius strip is long.
Yeah.
That's like two circular needles stuck together.
Yeah.
And I went through with my size 5 needles and made this whole thing work. And then, like, I don't need a second set of, well, I probably do, But I want to try to finish projects eventually. Yeah. So I do want to finish this and not allow myself to have, like, two complete Chaogu sets in the same sizes. I have three complete Chaogu sets, just to say. But they're for the... I've got the micros, which are so cute.
Yes.
But they're so tiny. And that's what I'm doing that fingerless mitt on.
Yeah, it's like I think that's what I have.
2-inch tips.
Yeah.
No, it's smaller than the ones
even
you have.
Oh, smaller?
Yeah. It's like 2-inch size 1 tips on like a 5-inch. So I'm like, it's teeny tiny. And then you have, I think,
I have the
next
ones that
size
are
up.
Like 12-inch total, you know.
But they don't go down like below a 2, right?
I don't think so.
So these are the ones that are below a 2 in my micro set.
Yeah.
The mini set. Yeah, I've got that one too, which I love. Great for socks and stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a different one.
Yeah.
That's not the one I'm thinking of.
I don't think you sell this one anymore. I think this is...
This is the bamboo one, right?
I can't remember.
Yeah, because it's got the green strip. I think that means bamboo.
Yeah.
And then I've also got that set, but in metal.
I shouldn't have done this.
All right. Don't play.
Yeah,
break it.
Never mind. We'll figure it. Hold, please. We'll come back to you on that.
Julie also has a Chaogu set. She's trying to show me, but her zipper is stuck, which is unfortunate.
Yeah.
You want me to try?
It's because I zipped it up too far.
Yeah. Okay. So anyway, I'm working on my. Hopefully, this is done. I've only got like a few more repeats of this thing left before I divide off for the arms, and it's a vest, so it should go fast at that point, right?
It should.
So, you have anything else you're working on?
I do. I just started. So, I have a hat pattern on Ravelry. There's also a hat pattern that's similar but slightly easier, available at Knitwit.
Yes. I don't know that I've put it out yet.
But it will be.
Been in a while.
You can see a couple of examples. You can see an example of both of them at some point.
So you have Knitwit. The bamboo set.
Yes, I have the bamboo set. And what size are
they? Yeah, this is size 2 to... 15, if you have both sides?
I don't have both sides.
Oh, okay.
I need to buy the extra pack. Thank you. So 2 to 8, I think, is what it came with. So I've already made two of those hats, you know, one of each style. And the Ocala hat, O-C-A-L-A, is on Ravelry.
Yeah.
But I decided I needed to make it in a different colorway. So this may or may not be a gift for someone, we'll see, or it may or may not be for me. But the good thing is about this hat pattern, with the yarns that I used, it makes two whole hats.
Yeah, because you're striping with two different kinds of yarn, right?
Yeah.
And they look really cute together.
Yeah, thanks. So it's the Quince Lark. And on this one, I've used the dark brown, which is Bark, and Barocco Tiramisu in Pizzelle.
Lark is just a nice wool, solid color. Like, there's no variation. And then the tiramisu is all kinds of colors in a couple different, like, I think there's some mohair in there and some other stuff.
Yeah.
And it's just, like, this fun, fluffy yarn. So putting them together makes these really cool stripes.
Yeah, silk, mohair, wool, and acrylic. It's 28% acrylic. The others are natural. But yeah, it's very nice to work with, and I like how the color is going to pop against that. So, making two more of those hats. Anyway, just started that one anyway. Because I don't have enough to do with, well, like, obviously, making 13 pairs of mittens or something.
You can keep that mojo going.
Yeah. All right, how about you? Is that...
That was all I had.
Okay.
All right.
So now, word from our sponsor. Knitwit Yarn Shop in Portland, Maine has been a favorite knitting destination for locals and visitors since 2004, and you can find us online too. www.knitwitportland.com is where you can shop the store virtually and explore some fun project ideas. Just click on Shop to get to the online store. You can also follow them on Instagram at Knitwit Yarn Shop or Facebook at Maine Knitwit.
All right, so what we want to work on next is coming up, which is always a fun part. I've, you know, given my focus to get this vest done, I'm almost in, like, this finishing mode, which is weird for me.
Who are you and who am I?
I do have a whole list of projects and most of the yarn bought for them sitting in my closet downstairs of other things I want to work on. But I've got all these cool things I've started and not finished, so I'm really, like, kind of on that kick briefly here. We'll see how long it lasts, but it's interesting. So it took me a few minutes to think about what I wanted to work on next. Huh. And I did come up with something, but I'll let you go next.
Yeah. Well, I don't really have a whole lot on here, huh? I've got more mittens, so, you know, I've already said that.
Yeah.
I actually need to recount, but with all the nieces and great-nieces and everybody, there's a lot. There's a lot. So I'm going to be making tons and tons of mittens.
Nice.
What's next on your list?
Well, so the 12 Days of Madeline Tosh is on my list.
It's on mine, too.
Yay! So this is a winter countdown, whatever sort of winter holiday you would like to count down to. This gives you 12 days ahead of it to count down. There's actually 16 boxes in the triangle, you may have noticed.
Oh, I didn't.
Yeah, there's a few that don't have numbers.
That's because I'm not an actuary.
There's a few that don't have numbers that are like extra gifts for you. Ooh. Just like goodies and stuff. Yeah. I don't think they're yarn, so we'll see. We'll have to figure out our own rules for when to open what.
Yeah.
But it came with two patterns, and I'm still undecided which one to do. There's a knitting pattern, which is a triangle shawl, and there's a crochet pattern, which is a cowl that's, I don't know. It kind of is like the shape of, what is it, the Andrea Mowry's shift. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's sort of like, you know, a triangle, but it's connected in the back.
Yeah, it's, what would I call it? Yeah, it's almost like if you took a triangle, you knotted it at the back, and then you had the...
Like a bib.
Yeah, the bib.
Yeah.
Yes, it's bandana. Like a bib. Yes, a bandana kind of shape. Yeah. Yeah, I like that one too.
So, but it's crochet, so...
Yeah,
which may go faster, but...
Yeah.
I don't know, we'll see. I'll decide.
I can't... I'm so bad at crochet. Like, I'm not good enough to do a... I just... And there's something about only holding one needle. I'm not good at it.
There's something about not having all your stitches on the needle at the same time.
Yeah.
It drives me crazy. I'm like, you got to be able to read it carefully to know where to shove your needle into the next stitch. And that's where I messed up many times before. I just like, all right, I'm just going to shove it in here somewhere and make a stitch. And it looks a lot better when you actually put it in the right stitch and make the stitch on top of the stitch it's supposed to go in.
I did make the fringe on that scarf using a crochet needle.
You did. See, you're a crochet.
And it was only because I wanted something to kind of poke it through and...
You should call it a crochet hook, though. It's not a crochet needle.
See, that's how little I know.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So I still have a few left in the shop if anyone wants to join us on this little adventure.
Yeah.
Let us know which one you're making, if you've already got yours, and, you know, we can do this together.
Yeah. I'm the reason I'm looking this way is because I'm coming up with ideas that I could still do the knitted one, but adjust the pattern.
You could. Just tie your triangle one together in the back.
Yeah, well, could do that too, but because it's not a mystery. Off. It's not a mystery knit along.
No. Well, I mean, before you buy the kit, it kind of is, but we're giving it away.
Yeah.
The designers were known all along, so that she has two different designers who design the patterns. But yeah, once you get your box, it will have a link in there, and you can download the patterns from the Madeline Tosh website.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're on Ravelry yet or not.
I haven't done that yet either.
Don't want to give the actual patterns away if anyone hasn't done that yet.
Yeah.
But then it's like, it tells you in the box, like, color A is in box one and color B is in box two. And then you follow your pattern using the appropriate colors.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. See if you can keep up.
Yep. Okay.
But we still haven't decided exactly when we're starting.
I know. Yeah. We were thinking December 1st, but now I want to go earlier, so I don't know.
I know. Well, December 1st is like, you know.
3 days
because away. It's the first of the month. And then you said what? Hanukkah starts?
Hanukkah starts on Sunday.
Yeah, which is before December 1st.
Yeah. So we could make it Hanukkah.
Or we could do 12 days before Christmas.
Yep.
Or
Kwanzaa.
Or just start right now, you know, because... We're making our own rules here.
Yep.
Anyway, so that's what I've got next.
Yep.
Cool. I don't have anything else that we haven't talked about.
Yeah.
We've got lots of cool, like, shawl kits and stuff that I've purchased, but they're not, like, jumping on my needles.
Yeah.
I mean, if I think about it, there's a ton of stuff down there. I've got this t-shirt I still wanted to start and all stuff we've talked about before. But now that it's colder out, my t-shirt mojo has... waned.
Actually, I do have something because it might I didn't put it on the list, though. Am I allowed to add it?
Yes.
I do have something else. Okay, so I might have got some really, really, really thick yarn.
Okay.
So I was shopping, and I was in somewhere like Old Navy. And apparently sweaters made out of really, really thick yarn, obviously knitted, you know, but machine-knit sweaters, are in again. And I was looking at those and doing the classic, I could make that.
Right.
So instead of buying a sweater for, I don't know, $20, I was like, I could spend $100 and buy roving style yarn and design my own sweater. Yeah. So, but I do really, really want to do it, but it's going to have to wait until Mittathon is done. Mm-hmm. So that I do want to work on it next, as in next month. So I figured I would add it to this list.
Okay.
We'll see how that goes.
Okay. Fair enough. All right. We've got some shop talk. A couple of very exciting things under shop talk.
Yeah.
So one is the retreat. We've been talking about this all along, and I believe last month we announced the dates are June 16th through the 19th.
Mm-hmm.
This month, now as we speak, it is, tickets are available. You can purchase your tickets now before they all sell out.
And I just did.
Yeah.
So I am registered. We've
got a handful of people registered already.
Yeah.
So we can also announce the teachers. I don't know that we did that last month.
No, I don't think. Yeah. Let's talk about the teachers anyway. Yeah.
So we've got Cindy Krabach, who we talked about earlier, the designer of my vest.
Yeah, Sydney Squidney.
Squidney School of Knits.
Yep.
Yes. She's a really cool person and a really, you know, what am I trying to say? Without like sounding cheesy.
It's a different style.
Yeah, but she just also has a lot of knowledge of construction techniques and how to, like, she's doing one class is about constructing sweaters, personalizing garment patterns, choosing the right size, modifying them if you need to. And then she's doing another one on Fair Isle, so doing some basic Fair Isle work where you would complete some color work mitts during the class and, you know, just have something there.
Nice.
Next we have a Simone Carrot, who you may follow on Instagram as Owlcat Designs. She's from Switzerland and has been knitting since she was about 5 years old.
So what language does she speak? I'm gonna find out.
She speaks English.
Well, I know, but as her first.
She's been teaching in a lot of different, like, Vogue knitting and stuff recently, so you may have seen her there. She's going to do one class on her Khyber Pass shawl. It's kind of an intro to shawl knitting with just a lot of good tips and tricks on shawl knitting, and you're going to learn how to, you know, make this shawl in the class. And then she's going to do her Easy Peasy Fearless Steeking, I think it might be called, class. So you can combine that with the class on the Fair Isle Basics and, you know, be able to do a Fair Isle sweater with a steek, which is sort of the traditional way of doing it. So that would be, everyone's sort of afraid of steeking.
Yeah, we're going to take the eek out of steeking.
Yes.
I do want to say that I think Simone might speak German, so, ich freue mich schon drauf, Simone. We'll see. Whether her native language is German.
I don't know. And then finally, we have Casapinka, which is super exciting. You may know Casapinka and her cat Sharon from Security, and we've talked about them many times. We did her Sharon Show shawl, kind of talking through the different sections together on the podcast. So super excited to get her up there in person. She's going to be doing one project-based class where she's going to do a similar thing, walk you through the project and how to knit it. And but Sharon is still deciding on which pattern, so we don't know which one that is yet. Yeah. Sharon's choice. We'll know closer to the class, and we will have kits available. But for now, it's
Can I add? I completely forgot to talk about it earlier on when we said what we've been working on.
Yeah,
but I didn't mention my Sharon show.
Oh, you've been working on that too?
Yes, I have. So the Sharon show, which I have to admit, I'm wearing mine yesterday. I know, I'm so sorry, Sharon. It got put aside for a little while because I lost my mojo, but it's back. It's back. So
I don't think she cares. She would give you a citation if you complained about it and said you were slow.
Yeah, well, I guess I kind of did. Yeah.
So that's where she would get mad at you, not because you haven't finished it.
Okay, I don't want to get into trouble with the cat, but anyway.
Because she's got her flamethrower. She'll take you down if you're down on yourself for your knitting speed.
Yes, I better be careful.
Yeah. Anyway, Sharon has not yet decided what the pattern will be, and I don't want to irritate her.
Yeah, irritate. Yeah. I was going to say intimidate, but no, that's not it.
I couldn't intimidate Sharon. I don't want to irritate her.
Yeah.
Anyway, and then she's also going to do one on picking color for your projects and kind of the thought process that Casa Pinka has when looking at colors and deciding how to choose which colors to go together. And I know a lot of people want help with that just from, you know, being in the shop.
Yeah.
You know, they just want someone to talk through their color choices and, you know, how do you think about this? And so I think that'll be a great class too.
Yeah.
Anyway, we are going to have a blast up there.
Yeah, it'll be amazing.
In Searsport with these three amazing ladies.
Yes.
So, anyway, they are...
And cats.
Yes. I don't know if Sharon's coming or not. I hope so. But we'll see. I don't know. Depends if my kids come, if the puppy gets to come, and then, you know, we'll see how Sharon and the puppy do. My cats will not be there, though. I don't think they'd appreciate the drive.
No.
So, anyway, go to knitwitattheshores.com. for all the information and pricing and options, and registration is open. So
nice.
Grab it. It is limited still. You know, our classrooms are kind of small up there. And I think it's more fun just to keep it a little more intimate.
Yeah, because you get more time with the teacher as well, based on last year. So
yeah, I mean, just having lunch with these ladies too is just going to be worth the price of admission, I think. Yeah. So I can't wait.
Yeah, me either. Please join us. Get in there while you can.
Yeah. So, next up, the other big announcement is... I'm almost nervous to say it. All right, so Knitwit has been in their little shop there in Portland since 2004.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like we've kind of outgrown the space.
Mm-hmm.
So, we have just signed a lease on a new, bigger space.
Yeah.
That is almost three times the size.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. That'd be amazing.
Yeah, which it isn't much, you know, if you take a small number and multiply, but it's still... Anyway, it's a very small shop, and I know many of you have been there and love it. It's very intimate. Mm-hmm. But I keep buying more yarn for the shop, but I want to bring in more brands, and...
Yeah.
It's...
It'll still be intimate, but you'll be able to have two people... looking in the same aisle at the same time, right?
Yeah, without tripping over each other.
Yeah.
One of the cool things is that it comes with a big classroom.
Nice.
It's a big kind of glassed off area where we can have classes while the shop is open.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a place to go and just, you know, help people out if we need. So that's pretty exciting too.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that'll be early, maybe...
Early 2022.
So say maybe late first quarter, we'll be moving in. We'll have a lot more information. And just
that's
to say,
an insurance thing to say late first quarter.
Sorry. Before the books close. Anyway, that so means February or March.
First quarter of the year. Yeah.
Yes. So sometime. No, it will be in February. Mm-hmm. We will be have our grand opening.
Nice.
Mid first quarter.
Yeah.
It is in the West End of Portland. So we're not going far,
mm-hmm.
like less than a mile from where we are now in the West End. Right now we're in the East End.
Mm-hmm.
Portland's
not that big a city.
No.
Portland, Maine.
It is only a few minutes more walking from the cruise dock ship area, but less hills.
Yep.
So if you're coming in to visit us on your cruise, you don't need to worry. You can still find us, and there's less hills to walk up.
Nice.
Yep.
Yeah, because it is kind of at the top of the hill right now.
Yes. So, we're super excited. And
Yay.
So we'll let you know dates and activities and all the fun things we're going to do.
Maybe we could have in-person sock classes.
I'm thinking we'll invite some designers and, you know, authors and see who comes. And it's going to be a blast.
Yay. The new nitwit.
Are in Portland in February. Watch for our date for our grand opening. If you are a summer Portland person, make sure you check the website before you come because you don't want to go to the wrong one.
Yeah, or even if you're up skiing or whatever, you know, remember Portland's pretty much on the way.
Yep.
For wherever you're coming from. Yeah. So.
Anywhere in Maine, you know, you got to kind of go past Portland.
Pretty much, yeah.
So that's all of our exciting news.
Yay. So our next segment, unfortunately, is catastrophes. Does that look okay? Yeah. I feel like we're having a recording catastrophe.
Recording on the wrong track the entire time, but that's fine.
Okay.
Don't worry about it.
Hopefully this will work. So I'm working on my peer side right now, but it was in timeout for a couple of days because the peer side is the very aggressive cable cardigan.
Yes.
And it's knit, each section has 16, each cable is 16 stitches wide. Am I saying that right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So one half is 8 stitches and it kind of goes to the right, you know, in the first part and to the left in the second and all's well and good. And then you do about 8 rows of nothing or you do 8 rows of just straight stockinette. Or 7 rows of straight stockinette, and then you come to another cable round. So it's not that hard to do. However, what I found was that I had dropped a stitch right in the cable the last time around. So when I came to do my cable over my 16 stitches, I only had 15.
Oh.
And I had to figure out where the dropped stitch was.
Yeah.
And then go back and tink. And what I do in this situation, I actually waited until I came to your house because you have a table. And I could spread out. And when I'm doing this, what I'll do is I'll take the section. So I took 8 stitches and I pulled out the yarn. So I had just 8 loops of yarn because I was going back 8 rows.
Yep.
And within those 8 rows, I knew I was going to have to cable over the first row. But then after that, it was straight stockinette.
Yep.
And what I like to use now, it's not even double points. I take the ends of my interchangeable needle set. And I use those because they're super short and it's much easier to... I'm doing a small space, you know. So I don't want a lot of needle in my way.
So you somehow knit the rows?
Yeah, I re-knit all the rows.
I should have watched you. Because what I end up doing is I end up doing picking up stitches.
Yeah.
If there's
like
8 of them.
Looping it through.
Yeah, with my crochet hook.
Yeah.
And I... By the time I get to the 7th or 8th one, they're super tight and there's no room for anything.
Yeah, no, the key...
I can't picture how to do that, though.
Yeah, well, maybe there'll be another opportunity. I hope not. But anyway,
see if you can describe it for our listeners.
So let's see if I can describe it. So just picture a simple cable, and I want to pull out 8 rows. So I just kind of mark off, these are the 8 stitches, and I'm going to go back 8 rows on these 8 stitches. It happens to be 8 and 8. I know that's confusing. I just pull out each row, all 8 of them. So I'm going to have 8 big loops.
Yep.
Like, I forgot to knit for 8 rows straight.
Yep.
And then my working stitches are, 8 rows behind all of the other stitches on this row. I picked them up. I actually had to use my cable needle because the first one was cable. But anyway, I put them on the working needles. But my working needles are now just double point. Not double points, but I was using the end of interchangeable needles.
Yep.
But without any cable between them.
So you put all 8, on your left needle.
Yeah, let's pretend it's not the cable row. I put all 8 on the left needle.
Yeah.
I put my right needle through, and instead of pulling up yarn, I'm pulling up the first loop. I can tell which loop is which because they're all boom, 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 boom.
Yep.
You know? So I don't know how to say that in words.
Well, they're laddered there.
Yeah, there is a ladder. Right, I'm picking up the first rung of the ladder.
Yep.
And I literally knit those 8 stitches. Then
that's the part I hadn't thought about.
Yeah.
How do you knit with something you can't, it's not your yarn.
Yeah. But you pretend it is your yarn and it gets pokey at the end.
It almost is if you were doing it continental, what's this one called where I hold my yarn in my left hand and I just go grab it.
Yeah. Continental style.
Right?
Yeah. I just knit it the way I always knit, which doesn't happen to be continental style.
Yeah, but you have to go grab this thing instead of throwing. Because you're not going to be able to pick something up and throw it around your needle.
At the beginning of the row, you can do that because the loop is long enough.
Yeah.
But as you get to the end of the row, it gets very pokey.
Yeah.
But you want it to get pokey and tight.
Yeah.
and you can't even throw it. Sometimes you just have to use that needle to kind of work it through, because otherwise you're going to have a big gap. And then the key is, on the next round, even if you're working in the round, flip your work around and purl the back, again, assuming it's stockinette, and because then you're going in the other direction. And to the extent you have gaps, it works out your gaps, so at least they're even. You're not going to have all your gaps on one end.
Interesting.
It's I like it, and I do a lot of cable stuff, and it's the only way that really works for me for the cable mess-ups.
Interesting.
But I wasn't particularly happy about it, but I'm glad that I was able to get it done. I feel much better now.
Yeah, that's almost a getting technical section instead of a catastrophe.
Yeah.
That was very helpful.
Yeah, well, only because it was a successful, yeah.
Yeah. A recovered catastrophe.
Yeah, yeah.
Sweet. All right. Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
All right, so... making stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I've been making lots of stuff.
You have.
Yeah. And, so Making Magazine also has an app now called the Making App.
Mm-hmm.
And through the app, they're offering classes. They don't work really well through the app yet. You have to still go to their website, which is called the Making App,
mm-hmm.
which is a little weird. But anyway, that's where they're offering the classes. And... I signed up for a stained glass class and a watercolor painting class. So I did both of those.
Yep.
Stained glass was kind of funny because, yeah, it was only a certain amount of money for the class, but then I had to go spend like five times that amount on supplies.
Yeah.
So that was sort of ridiculous. I don't know. I should keep going because I have a ton of, like, stained glass supplies now,
yeah.
But I can't quite figure out how to finish it because
the
timing on the class was weird. I think she said this was the first time she'd done it virtually.
Mm-hmm.
She ended up going way past the time, and then a storm came through her area and we lost power before she finished the class. And then we got her back quickly and she's like, nope, that was it. We're done. But I don't feel like I got a good sense of the soldering that happens at the end, which is kind
of the dangerous part.
What makes it look all nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
So mine looks like crap at the moment, but I'll keep playing with it. Solder's kind of cool because you just remelt it and put it somewhere else.
Yeah.
So I keep playing with it, sitting on my kitchen counter. And every once in a while, I fire up the soldering iron and melt stuff.
Yeah.
Just for fun.
Nice.
The watercolor painting one was, the title was like watercolor painting journaling or something. So she spends part of the time talking about how to like... keep yourself interested in journaling, you know, different prompts and but keeping a watercolor, just like keeping a book of like, just what did she say? She said just make it an ugly journal so that, because I do this right, you sit down and you're like, all right, this is the first time I'm ever going to do something, but it has to be a masterpiece, it has to be perfect.
Yeah.
And then I never start.
Yeah.
Or I give up because it's not like my class.
Yeah.
But she's like, yeah, just do like play with colors or, and so I also bought like a book. We got a new bookstore in town here.
Yeah.
Sherman's over.
Yeah. Gotta go
by Hannah.
There.
Yeah. It's really nice.
In Wyndham. Yeah.
Yes. And there's Sherman's all over the area though.
Yeah.
It's a local chain, I guess is the way to say it.
Mm-hmm.
But I bought a watercolor book there when I went in for their grand opening day, which is just a book. And it's, like, got thicker paper, so you could, like, watercolor right in it and, like, just try different things. And so, yeah, I've been playing with watercolors, too.
Nice.
And then today, we had just craft day. Like, I didn't have to be anywhere. And that was really nice. And so I got out my looms, like, my little looms, which I haven't used in a while. One was called the Zoom Loom from Schacht.
Yeah.
And I figured out how to use it and made a little square.
Yep.
And then I got out my Katrinkles tapestry loom.
Yeah, which is very cool.
Yeah.
I like how simple it looks.
Yeah, it didn't come out of the instructions, but it's totally, like, it's just...
intuitive.
Kind
mostly.
Of. Yeah, but I did spend some time looking at Pinterest and what kind of tapestry weaving people have done just to get some ideas. And then Julie convinced me not to do, like, the elaborate tapestry landscape on my first tapestry weaving project.
You're still using more colors than I would have suggested.
Oh, come on. All I have is two stripes so far.
Yeah.
But I went and got my old hand spun, which I have in a basket that I'm like, all right, I don't know what to do with this yarn. I don't have enough of it to make anything. And it's all kind of art yarn looking. Yeah. I don't want to give it a bad name. But
that's great for
weaving. Yeah. So then I've got this really cool thick and thin yarn that's all like weird different shapes and sizes. And you know how your first spinning attempts come out? Which reminds me, I want to get to my spinning. So... Yeah, I've been using that. It's a perfect thing to do in a tapestry weave.
Yeah.
So I've had this week off, basically. This is Thanksgiving week. It's Friday that we're recording. And I took the whole week off just to kind of recover from nothing in particular, just going nonstop all the time.
Yeah, I feel like I've needed this time off more than usual.
Yeah. So this is... Yeah, that's how we kind of ended the week here with a craft day, where we just sat around and did some crafts and...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
Do you have any making stuff?
No, my making stuff is all the improv comedy stuff, but that's still going on. I'm doing stand-up comedy and improv still. We just had a great show in Freeport.
Nice.
So.
And you got your knitting mojo, so that's a good thing.
Yes. Good. Yeah, definitely.
Awesome.
All right. I guess that's it. You've come to the end of another main yarn.
Right. Show notes are located at knitwitportland.com, and click on the main yarn podcast menu.
Yeah. Right, thank you to Knitwit, our sponsor.
Yes, you're welcome.
And happy knitting, everyone.
Yeah, take care. Bye.
Bye.